Daniel chapter number 3 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the priests, princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, saxbit, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth in the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made? Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew these men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak of anything amidst against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. So I want to take my text tonight out of verse number 15. At the end of verse number 15, we find Nebuchadnezzar makes a statement. He asks a question: "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Tonight I want to preach on who is that God that shall deliver you. Tonight I know who that God is. In the first chapter of Daniel, we see that God gives the Israelites into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. They take children with no blemish. They're well-favored children, skillful in all wisdom, knowledge, and science, and they were taken out and put under the Chaldeans. Those children were namely Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The latter three were given the Babylonian names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They continued to follow God and not defile themselves by eating of the king's meat, and they would not go against God and the law. After Daniel, as we heard, I believe it was on Sunday, after he interprets the dream of Nebuchadnezzar about a man made of different metals, Nebuchadnezzar saw God for the Most High God that he is. But then we come here into chapter number 3, and Nebuchadnezzar is starting to make an image of gold. He's, what I think of is, in the when it's talking about that image that he saw in his dream, it showed that he had a gold, the Babylonians were a gold head. I think he got himself a big head right here. And he decided, "I'm going to make the whole entire statue of gold, because my kingdom ain't going to fall, because I'm higher than God. I'm more than what he can handle, and I'm more than what God can ever do." So he makes this statue of gold from head to toe in the image of himself. Nebuchadnezzar is spitting in the face of God, saying that his Babylonian empire is not going to go down, that the empire he rules will never fall. And he wanted every man to worship him, not God. He believed himself to be greater than God. When and if someone did not fall down in worship, Nebuchadnezzar had fire ready to punish. But we find three men in the crowd denied Nebuchadnezzar of worship. May I say right here, there are men and women in this world today that are looking for worship, and there's coming a time when if they don't get the worship, they're going to be ready to kill you. We're dealing with it very profusely in America right now. There's coming a time where they might want to kill you. As sin waxes worse in our world, this could become our reality. It was our reality as Baptists throughout world history and up to our time in America. United States of America It was founded on religious freedom, but today that freedom's being attacked. But we don't have to submit to that attack. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we can put our faith in God no matter what the outcome is and just stand up for God. We might receive the same comment, "Who is that God that shall deliver you?" And Nebuchadnezzar here, he thought he was bigger than God. He thought his fire was greater than God could bear. That was because Nebuchadnezzar knew that he's worshiping these other gods, these fake gods. When you worship fake gods, you think you're better than them all because you're the one that created them. But what he doesn't realize is he has a God that created him. So now we have this question right here, one that's mocking God. Who is that God that shall deliver you? So let me tell you about that God. Verse number 25, I want to see these attributes of this God that delivers. In verse number 25, it says, "He answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God.'" So first, this God, he is a God who walks with his children. It says, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire." When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fire, their God walked in with them. We're often facing and walking through fire, but God, when we don't see him, he's walking right beside us. It may appear to us as God is nowhere to be found, wondering if he hears us, wondering if he knows what we're going through, but God's right beside us, walking right beside us. He's always right with us. He doesn't leave us to face a trial by ourselves, but he goes into and walks into the fire with us. He's always with us, just walking. He's always right beside you. Whenever you're feeling something, he's there to be the shoulder to lean on. He's the friend to talk to. So right here we see that he's a God who walks with his children. Not only that, in verse number 25, it says, "Walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt." So this is a God who guards his children. Not only is God walking with these three men, but God has guarded them in the fire. These men were in the middle of the fire and were not hurt. But even in furthermore, in verse number 27, it tells us that the fire had no power. I'm glad today that because of my salvation, the fire has no power. And it says that nor was an hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They came out unchanged. What fire they faced did not and could not do anything to them because God was guarding them. There was no hair singed. Their clothes did not catch fire. The smoke did not even attach itself to these men. Instead, the fire, the world brought, which was so hot it killed two men, the biggest men they had, wrapped in tons of clothing that was trying to guard themselves from fire. That fire, it ain't no match for God. The world can burn you, but God's still going to guard you. Then we see in verse number 28 and 29, says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort.'" Right here we find Nebuchadnezzar, he sees what happens, and God changes his heart. So what we know is that he is a God who changes hearts. This man, Nebuchadnezzar, right here, he proposed the question, who is this God? And he finds out just who he is. And by the end of it, he's saying, there ain't no other God that can do that. Not only did God walk with these men, no, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. At the beginning of this chapter, Nebuchadnezzar believed himself to be higher than God. He thought God to be like any other God, which Nebuchadnezzar was greater than because they were all fake. He did not believe in God's power, but God changes his heart. Who is that God that shall deliver you to saying, realizing, believing that there's no other God that can deliver after this sort? So you know what Nebuchadnezzar is really saying right here? He's saying that God can do what we think is impossible. The mountains, the storms, this fire that we faced, it's nothing to God. We need to remember our God made a universe in 7 days. He protected the Israelites. He led them out of Egypt, rained bread on a daily basis, helped them overcome and take Canaan, brought them through the hardships of Judges, helped David slay a giant with a rock, was born of a virgin, healed the blind, lame, sick, raised the dead, made maniacs sane, took the punishment we deserved on the cross, died and rose again, making a way of salvation, saved a murderer and turned him into a missionary. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're not even talking about what he did for us. But think about it. Remember what he did for you. Remember where you were, but God delivered you. The sin and shame that you were living in, but God reached down, plucked you out of the miry clay. Worms on our way to hell, but God delivered. The places we each could be today, but God delivered. You can trust in him. All those trials that you have faced before, how did you make it through then? It's because God delivers. He knows what you're facing. Those loved ones that you've lost, those dark times that you felt alone, who got you through it? God delivers. If he has done all that in the past, we can be rest assured that no matter what we face, he's going to deliver us. And not only does he deliver, but as the point says, he changes hearts. You might be praying for someone today, someone who needs saved, someone who needs God. I got good news. God changes hearts. It may seem like they're never going to get saved, like they will never get right, but you have to keep praying because God is nothing. With God, is nothing is impossible. He saved the insane. He saved the dying. He saved the murderers, the homosexuals, people in prison, the old, the young, the black, the white, the eight. Indian, the Asian, and any race in anybody, God will save them. He is no respecter of persons. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save. He wasn't just in one place and then he seeked. He didn't come to save the sought. We know that Calvinism ain't right there. He ain't predestinated, but he came to seek and to save. Anyone can be saved. No matter someone's race, wealth, history, whoever you're praying for, just keep praying because God can change their heart. But lastly, I want to challenge you tonight. God can do the impossible, but we're his vessels to spread the gospel and to witness. Here, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they're God's vessels to be a witness to Nebuchadnezzar. In chapter 3, I see four different things they did as a witness that we should apply to our lives. Verse number 11 and verse number 12 says, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, these men of key have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. First thing I see, they didn't bow their knee. I spoke earlier about how in America our religion's freedoms being taken. These men are getting oppression. We get oppression throughout the world all the time. And what I see often is Christians falling by the wayside. They're bowing their knee. They're letting the world do their thing. But if we just keep standing instead of bowing our knee like them, we can find religious freedom, just how we have in the past. So we know as a witness, we don't need to bow our knee. They did not bow their knee. Secondly, they did not worship the golden image. So not only can you just not stop, don't just put your knee down, but don't start worshiping the world. This golden image is just idol worship. Whatever that it may be in this world that may be trying to get you, don't let it. Keep standing. Don't give yourself up to the world and start worshiping the things of this world. There's nothing in this world for you. This world's not our home. We have a home up there. We don't need to be worshiping the world. We need to get out of this world. Not only that, but in verse number 16 and 17, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So the next thing I see is they were not slack in proclaiming God. They said, we're not careful to answer thee. So what he's saying right there is, I ain't taking no hesitations in this. You're wrong. My God will deliver me in this matter. You think you have me, but my God will protect me. They weren't slack proclaiming God. What we need to be out and about in this world is not slack proclaiming God. We often just hear things and don't rebuke people. Or we just let people go along their way instead of letting them know that they need Jesus Christ. And what they need is a Savior. Not only that, but in verse number 17 and 18, so you're coming out of that, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What I like right there is he says, but if not. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what God has planned for us. But right here, they trusted God no matter the outcome. It didn't matter what was coming down the pipeline. They said, God, if you're going to deliver us, you're going to do it. But if it's our time, let us be the witness right here. We're not going to worship anything. We're not going to bow our knee. But they said, Lord, whatever it takes, I'll do whatever you have for me. And they trusted God no matter the outcome.